Thank you that you saw our need and you knew your heart. And Father, you moved to send Christ on our behalf that we might be able to experience life over death, that we might be able to experience grace over shame. So Father, I pray that as we take and hear from your word, that we would hear those messages of life and grace. Lord, that it would deliver us from the narratives that runs through so many of our heads, the narratives of death and shame. So Father, we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you, Brian. Something happened to me yesterday that has never, ever happened to me before in all of my 57 years of life. It wasn't a big thing. It wasn't like the earth opened up and I saw the heavens and the earth or anything like that. It wasn't like that. But it was still something that made a big impression, even though it was only a small thing. I usually go down to Starbucks on 132nd on Saturday mornings just to kind of finish things up and do some prep and things like that. And there wasn't very many people in there, for which I was thankful. But I go in and I stand in line. There's only one guy in front of me and no one behind me. And I didn't recognize the guy, but the barista or the cashier says, "What would you like?" And he said what he wanted. And I was still kind of deliberating in my own head what I wanted. Do I want a grande vanilla latte or just a drip coffee? Usually depends on my mood. It's oftentimes it's just I view what I buy there as just nothing more than rent. But the guy says, tells the barista what he wants, and then he turns around and he tells her, and whatever it is he wants too. And by that moment in time, I had pretty much settled on the tall drip because I'm cheap. But I was shocked when he said that. I thought, upgrade time. But I didn't. And I was kind of stunned. And you know how there are things that happen in your mind, your brain all at once. You know, all of a sudden this, you know, what would normally take, you know, 10 seconds to process through, all of a sudden, you know, to talk through. You know, it's just happened in a moment's notice. That's what happened. And I thought, my goodness. I've never, ever, ever had this happen to me before. And it was kind of an interesting experience for me. I thought, I was just flooded with all kinds of just minor emotions. It's not like I broke down and I had tears and wept in joy or anything like that. But there was just a lot of internal stuff that really started to happen. All because this guy turned around and said, and whatever he wants too. Now, I got home and I told Kim that. She said, did you turn that around to the guy in back behind you? I said, no, absolutely not. Because no one was there. Now, had someone been there, I probably still would not have done it. Because I pay for everything with cash, and my cash is very important to me. Because when it's gone, right? But little thing made a big difference. Little things can make a big difference in one's life. I want to look briefly at Matthew chapter 13, a parable that Jesus tells. A parable is just a story that has a point, a single point to it, to make an impression, to drive home a point that the people cannot miss. Jesus is talking to some folks and he tells this story and he says the kingdom of heaven, which is entering into his rule, his reign, his ways, his heart, okay? The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and he planted it in the field. Though it is the smallest of all the seeds, the size is really about the size of a grain of sand. Yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree. Now, what's that? How big of a tree does it become? It grows to be about 25 feet tall with a spread, a canopy of about 20 feet. So it's a massive thing. You don't want to plant this in your yard unless you have a couple of acres, okay? So it's the largest of garden plants. It becomes a tree. Now here's the purpose of it that Jesus says. And I love the imagery. So that the birds of the air can come and to perch in its branches. Now this is a story that has a point. Now what is Jesus' point? His point is this. That the coming of the kingdom of God, where we enter into His rule, His reign, under His heart, His leadership, His lordship, in the midst of this world where we are, it's like we have this own space here in the midst of everything else, the kingdom of darkness. The coming of His kingdom, the influence of it, may start out very, very small, like a mustard seed. You look at it and you think, this isn't much. It's not going to become much. It's not a big deal. But as it germinates and as it grows and it pushes up through the soil, over time, it becomes a really big deal. It becomes a really big deal. That's his point. The kingdom of heaven, of which if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are a part of. You have come under its influence and you carry that its influence. The kingdom of heaven starts out really, really small. But over time, it can make a big difference. It can make a big difference. The difference that it can make is it's a place that provides refreshment, strengthens those who come under its influence. It's a place that is life-giving because these mustard trees grew up in Palestine where it was a desert. We don't know much about desert here unless you're from the desert, but here we are blessed. You know, they have all sunshine, no rain. We have all rain, very little sunshine, all right? We are blessed, believe it or not. But in that place, these mustard trees would grow and it would provide a place that is life-giving, a place of rest. We would say, in our vernacular for where we are, we're an oasis for renewal with God and one another, a place of refreshment, a place where you can come and be encouraged, where you can connect with the Father, where you can experience the Father, not just here, but here. But it's a place of refreshment, it's a place of encouragement, it's a place of strengthening. That's what the kingdom of God is. We are like the kingdom of God. We are all under the kingdom of God, and we represent the kingdom of God, and its influence is growing and expanding, not just to here, but to out there as well. That's the point of Jesus's statement. The journey that we are on, that we actually start today, about 3 weeks ago, 3-4 weeks ago, we started the journey. And actually, those first 3 weeks were about preparation. Just preparing our own hearts, understanding that we are salt and light. That's part of our identity. Understanding the importance of story, of listening and hearing other people's stories. And also understanding it's going to be a challenge. We talked about that last week. Being a part of it, going out on this journey is going to challenge us. It's like when I go on a hike with Kim, if it's going to be a strenuous hike, I check our supplies. Do we have lunch? Do we have water? Do I have attitude adjusters? Okay? M&Ms. Got to have those. Okay? Because it's going to be strenuous. And there are times you think, I don't want to be there. And you think, okay, where's my attitude adjusters? Okay? Don't worry, I also take them when I'm riding the motorcycle long distances. Usually I just call them attitude enhancers at that point, because my attitude's already really adjusted well. But anything to justify candy, right? But this journey that we are on, that we start today, begins with small steps. Just like a mustard seed is small and can grow up and to have a big influence, these steps that we're going to begin taking today may seem small and surprisingly feel like they're very insignificant, but they are not. They are not. They are small steps that are designed to make a big difference. A big difference in our lives, the lives of those who are around us, the life of the person that is right next to you, that is across the aisle. Because we don't practice these, we don't take these small steps just with people out there. We take them with people in here as well. It's not like we become a different person when we step outside these doors. We're an integrated being, so we live consistently, holistically. So these five steps, these habits that I would call them, or signposts, they are designed to make a big difference in the people around us and the people beyond us. Now, these habits were a part of the regular of the early church. Okay, you can find these in Scripture. They were a part of the practice of the early church. These habits set them apart from the rest of culture so that they actually stood out. They were different from everybody else. Why? Because they were practicing these habits, these things. Okay, so it was very important to understand that as they practiced these things, the rest of culture, the rest of society, their friends and their neighbors would look at them and say, something's different about you. Because you are doing these things. You are taking these steps. You have this habit. And these habits actually lit the fire that propelled the gospel throughout the world. Throughout the world. I just heard some numbers this last week that in the, you know, at 100 AD, there was around 100,000 Christians. By 300 AD, there was like 25 million Christians. Why? Because it wasn't easy. I mean, they were dying for their faith back then. But what propelled it? Well, yeah, Martin, the Holy Spirit did. Yeah, it did. But what did the Holy Spirit do within the lives of the people so that they actually participated in this? I believe it had to do with some of these habits. There were other things, but we're focusing on five. Okay? You see these habits lived out like in the church at Thessalonica. One of the very first letters that was written in the New Testament. I just want to look briefly at chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians 2, and I'll just read this real quickly. You can follow up here, where Paul writes to this little church, this impoverished church. He says, "We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith." In other words, your willingness to take risks, to stretch yourself, to live out the faith, to practice the habits of the faith. Your labor on behalf of others that is prompted by love. Your willingness to sacrifice on behalf of another person, not because you have to, but because you are compelled to, you want to. And your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, he says you didn't give up when it got hard. When it challenged the status quo in your life, like we talked about last week. When it challenged the status quo, when it challenged your personal preferences. When it challenged your fears. You did not turn around and walk away. What was the result of that? Paul goes on to say, the message, the Lord's message, not just the content of the gospel. It's not like it just was a content that was spread out there, but the beauty of it that was actually being lived out. The message of the Lord's message rang out from you. And the idea there is like thunder rolling across a valley. You could just hear it coming. For miles. And it continues, the idea in the original is it continues to this very moment. It rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has become known everywhere. In other words, he says, you guys have established a reputation that cannot be ignored. And it's not like they were doing big things. They were doing small things that were making a big difference. Now, there are five habits that I want us to embrace, but not just embrace with our minds, but where we actually begin to practice it. Because our journey is about being disciples who make disciples among those who are not disciples. Okay? Being disciples who make disciples among those who are not disciples. We are still committed to making disciples within these four walls and within your homes. But beyond that, we are committed to making disciples among those who are not disciples, those who are not within these four walls. People like your neighbors, people like your coworkers when you have the opportunity, people that God just randomly brings into your life. Being disciples who make disciples among those who are not disciples. This journey that we are on matters. Matters a lot. So we're going to deal with, over the next 5 weeks, we're going to deal with one habit each week that I'm going to encourage all of us to be sure and make an effort to begin to put into practice. Now, they say it takes like 21 days to establish, to take something from that, something that is not a habit, and turn it into a habit. Okay? So I want to encourage us to get ready, because I'm actually asking you to do something. Okay? And I will check in with you to see if we are actually doing it. Because I'm not just interested in expanding our understanding. I'm interested in taking steps that will actually shape our character, shape our hearts, our lives, and make a difference in the lives of those that are around us and beyond us. Okay? The first habit is this. Choose to bless others. Choose to bless others. Now, what do I mean by bless? Whenever you look in Scripture at the word for bless, it has a very broad spectrum of meaning. But for our purposes, it narrows it down to this. To bless is to show respect and value to another person. To show respect and value to another person. To strengthen them is sort of the Latin idea of it, to strengthen an arm. Now, when choosing to bless others, we need to have a robust understanding of why, of where this comes from. And the foundation for this is here. We bless others with the blessings that we have received from our Father. I'm not asking anyone to take into gifts to someone else that which they have not received from our Father. Okay? We bless others with the blessings that we have received from our Father. In 2 Corinthians 9, Paul writes this, you have been and will be enriched, blessed richly. You have been and will be enriched in every way by whom? By our Father. Okay? Our Father distributes, He gives to us graciously and freely blessings. In the specific case of the Corinthians, he's talking, the context is that of financial. But he expands it way beyond that. It's like, kind of like this, but it's not just this, it's this. Okay? You have been blessed richly in every way. Now, for what purpose? So that you may be generous to others on every occasion that you have the opportunity to be. And there's a lot of occasions for that. It may be standing in Starbucks and saying, you know what, I want to buy this person's coffee. There's one person I will occasionally have breakfast with, and he'll tell the waitress, I want to buy that person's breakfast over there. Just as a means of blessing. Because that's the kind of guy that he is. On every occasion. Now think about that for a moment. How many occasions might you have in any given day? From the time you wake up, the time you go to bed. There can be a lot of occasions, right? A lot. Little things can make a big difference in the lives of people that you are around. If we're just aware of it. If we just take the opportunity to practice this. And it's not just out there, it's here. It's not just here, it's in your homes. Little things can make a big difference. But we don't give away that which we have not received from our Father. But we do give away that which we have received from our Father. And when you understand that, all of a sudden that becomes the engine that motivates us. This morning I did something I hadn't done in a long time. Usually I always spend my time praying, Lord, speak through me. And then just hoping that He does. But this morning I said, Lord, thank you that I get to speak. That's an interesting thought. I don't have to be nervous about it. I can just say, thank you, Lord, that you have given me the privilege of being able to speak. To be able to hopefully bless others. A little thing can make a big difference. We bless those people who are among us. And we bless those people who are beyond us. We become distributors of God's blessings that we have already received, right? Right? So we bless others with the blessings that we have received from our Father, but we also bless others so that they might experience the heart and the ways of our Father. That's why we do it. So that they will experience something about our Father through the little thing that I may do on their behalf. Blessing people, though, who are among us, and many of the people who are beyond us, can be easy, but it can also be difficult, right? We can think, yes, I really want to bless those who I like or who like me. But what about those who I don't like or who are jerks? You know, we all have this entity within us that I call the jerk within. Right? I've spoken about this a couple of years ago. We all have a jerk within us. I do, and I know you all do. Okay? And we, every once in a while, our jerk gets exposed. Right? So, but what about those who have jerks within them? And they treat you like a jerk. That's when it starts to get tough. Is when we realize that I'm not just called to bless those who I like or who like me or who are like me. But I'm also called to the privilege of blessing those I don't like. Or who don't like me. That's where it gets tough. But this is part of what sets us apart in our culture. And this is a part of what lit the fire in the early church in the first 300 years that took it from 100,000 to however 25 million, however many it was. Was they not only blessed one another, but they blessed those who didn't like them. They blessed those who were trying to kill them. That's what's made a difference, and it grabbed everyone's attention and says something's really different about these guys. The little things that they would do, like provide a meal. The little things that they would do, like help tend to the needs of the sick. Made a big difference. It lit the fire of the gospel throughout the entire known world. Little things make a big difference. Jesus made this statement in Matthew 5, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. In other words, that's what we want to do. That's our human nature, right? Now when he speaks of the enemy here, I don't think he speaks of the person who's trying to abuse you or trying to kill you necessarily, but I think that he's speaking of those who just annoy you, or who are opposed to you, or who might make life hard on you. But he says, you've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that, now here's the purpose of it, so that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. In other words, you're taking on the character qualities of your Father. You're taking on the character of the kingdom of heaven. Like father, like daughter. Like father, like son. That's what it becomes like. We give to others that which our Father has given to us. When our Father has blessed us, we bless others. How many of you have been blessed by your Father? Some of you aren't really sure. We've all been richly blessed. But it's not just to be given to those who are like us. It's to be given to those who don't like us. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and on the good he sends rain. It's because he sends it up on both the righteous and the unrighteous. Now, what does that look like for us? Because I don't have the ability to raise the sun or to make rain fall from the heavens. But what's Jesus' point here? Jesus' point is this, is our Father treats us better than we deserve to be treated. And in the same way, because we have been treated that way, now we go and we are able to bless others with that same attitude where we treat others better than they deserve to be treated, right? That's what we do. And it starts in the home. It starts among us. And it flows out from us to those who are around us. Now, this is very, very practical blessings, right? You can't get more practical than sun and rain. But what does it look like for us to be able to bless others, especially those who don't like us? Well, in Proverbs 25:21, we read this as a general principle. If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If your enemy is thirsty, give him water to drink. That's practical. You see a need, you see the place where they are vulnerable, and you step into that vulnerability and you bless them. Paul gives another example. When you are cursed, in 1 Corinthians 4, when we are cursed, we bless. And when we are persecuted, we endure it. And when we are slandered, we answer with the jerk within. You jerk. No, he says you answer kindly. We live out the beauty of the gospel. We live out the beauty of our Father's character. That's what we do. We look for practical opportunities to bless those and to treat others better than they deserve to be treated. And we pray for them, not for their destruction. I know we're all tempted towards that, right? Jen is biting her tongue. It's great being able to see you all now. But we pray, we ask that God's will be done in his life, her life, and your life. But Martin, he's a jerk and I just want to beat the jerk out of him. No, that's not an option. I get it. And we can be a jerk to a jerk, or we can bring a taste of life in the midst of death. We can bring a taste of grace in the midst of shame. So that people begin to look at that and we think, wow, something's different. Now, it's not going to happen all at once, but that's why this is a habit where we choose to bless. starts very small and begins to grow from there. Begins to grow. But Martin is tough. Yes, it is. But that's why we must make this decision with our will and not our emotions. And it requires that we be willing to press into Jesus and say, Father, I don't want the offenses of another person to dictate my actions or my heart. I want to be able to bless them with the blessings that you have given to me. That's what I want to be able to do, because that's your calling upon my life. Because as your son, I want to be like you. So make me like you. Amen? And when we bless others, we will be blessed. Proverbs makes it clear that those who enrich the lives of others will themselves be enriched. Now, it's a general principle, and it may or may not happen. It'll probably happen more often than it doesn't. So you may be blessed in return by another person. However, you will receive the blessings of your Father. Why? Because he looks at his son, he looks at his daughter, and he says, well done. Well done. 1 Peter 3, Peter writes, do not repay evil for evil or insult for insult, but with blessing, because to this you were what?
Called.
So that you may what?
Inherit a blessing.
The blessing of who? Those who are around you? Maybe, maybe not. But you know this, that your Father is noticing and says, I'm all in with you. I'm all in with you. Now, how do we bless others? What are practical ways we can bless others? How have others blessed you? I want you to think about that. But I'm going to invite Joe Churland up here, because this is an amazing woman. Yes. Oh, I didn't even see that over there. Black on black. So Joe, come on up here. Joe and Randy are a very fun couple. If you ever want to have them over for dinner, they're a great couple. They're fun and they're funny. So, but Joe, I saw her post something on Facebook last week or so, and I thought, I need to tell Joe she needs to share this. Notice I didn't say I need to ask her. Okay? Because this is fearful for many people, but Joe can handle it. So Joe, tell us about how this has worked its way out in your life. Everybody clap for Joe, right? Yeah.
What I've learned is never post anything on Facebook.
Or you can just unfriend me.
Oh, that's rough. That is not blessing. Okay. I work with people who are experiencing homelessness, and a lot of them are in recovery, and they stay in our houses. And so it was a Friday night. It had been a long week. All the staff wanted to get out of there. They all got out of there, and I was trying to get out of there too. And one of our residents came down the hallway actually looking for her case manager, and unfortunately, she found me. And I said, well, she's gone. Do you want to talk? And she said, I do. And so we went into my office, and she sat down. I sat down. We balanced our feet on an exercise ball that's really an ottoman in my office, and we just started to talk. She's a gal who's been with us for a year. She's been in recovery for a little over a year. She's worked so hard. She's restored her relationships with her family, and she's working, and she got her driver's license and a car, and she's saved almost 10 grand to move out. So she's done really well, right? Yes, applaud that.
Yeah.
And then her mom got diagnosed with Parkinson's, and that was sad. But over the fall, she started herself to have some medical issues. And to kind of summarize it, she has lupus, and she just found out about a week ago. And so she was just talking about how angry and bitter and frustrated she was. She's worked so hard, and now here she is, and what does her life look like? And We talked for a long time, and I asked a few questions, but I basically just let her talk. And sometimes we just sat there silently, and I think that that's good, because a lot of times work gets done when you're quiet. And then at the end she said, okay, thanks, I'm going to go lay down. And as she left, I felt horrible. I felt like I had epically failed her. Like, I wish I had a magic word or pixie dust that I could shake on this conversation to make it better. So I was shaking my head and telling God, I got to work on some things, I guess. I just felt like I did a really bad job. So I got to my car, and she came out, and she said, she smiled, and she said, Joe, you're the bomb.com. And she turned and left and went inside. And I just felt immediately warm and fuzzy inside. And then I felt guilty for feeling warm and fuzzy. There's a lot that goes on in there. It's very busy in here. But it just made me think that it was a small thing that maybe made a big difference. And I think that sometimes me, maybe others, we can overthink what it means to bless somebody. Was there something else?
Wasn't there something else also that happened in addition to that? What are some of the encouragements? I know you've been talking through some of this with the women's group that you're leading. It's rattling around in my mind, and it's hiding in the shadows right now.
It was really cool. I'm looking for ladies from Bible study.
Okay.
That was it. I mean, I don't know. Now you got me bugged that I can't remember, like, something. Anyway, I don't know.
Okay, well, if I think about it, I'll bring you back up. Thank you, Joe. The point is, folks, is little things can make a big difference. And not every time we bless is the motivation or the purpose to be able to give the four spiritual laws or to lead someone into a discipleship process. But what it does is it begins to build the relationship. It begins to start the process of just giving people a taste of what our Father is like. What are some of the practical ways in which you have seen other people bless you? You know, it's amazing when you really think about that. And you think, how have others blessed me? How has my Father blessed me? And how can I begin to take that to others? But when we bless others, I want to encourage you to look for practical opportunities. Practical ways in which you can step into another person's vulnerabilities. And it doesn't have to be just physical vulnerabilities. It can be emotional vulnerabilities. It could be just the need that they have for someone to listen to them. Something as powerful as that. And just see what the Father does with that. See what the Father does with that. And when we begin to practice this as a habit, I believe with all my heart, folks, that just like with the Thessalonians, the Lord's message will ring out from us. I was really excited in my community group on Monday night. We were talking, and we had an informal time, but I started sharing just with what some of the things that I am involved with and within this body, with this new journey that we're taking, with some stuff with sexual abuse. And I realized as I was talking about it that I was getting amped up, and I thought, why? And it's because of this. I'm making a difference. What we are doing matters, not just to those who are right here, but to those who can be out there when we begin to form these habits. And just say, Lord, how can I take and make a difference? But really, as you look at those who you cross paths with, ask the question, do they need a word of affirmation? Just someone to walk up to them and say, you know, I've been watching you, someone you know. I wouldn't walk up to someone you don't know and just say, hey, you're amazing. That doesn't mean anything. But just walk up to someone that you know, that you have built this relationship with, and just give them a word of affirmation if that's what they need to hear. Or an act of kindness. Joe, I remembered what it was. Come on up here. It's about what you're doing in your neighborhood with your neighbor.
This is so not cool. Okay.
Hey Joe.
Oh, sweet.
There you go.
I'm off this week. It's a staycation.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, sorry. My neighbor. Okay, so this was another example of a way we can bless. We have a neighborhood Facebook page. Is that what you're doing?
Yeah.
And a neighbor had posted, I need help taking my trash cans to the curb on Tuesday nights. And I did what everyone else did. I scrolled past. And then a week later, she posted it again. And I kind of camped there for a little bit, and I just stared at it, and then I thought. And so I reached out to her, and we met. I went over to her house, and because I wanted to make sure I could commit to something like this. I know it's really silly and small, but it was important to her, and I wanted, if I was going to join in and be the trash man, I wanted to do it every week. And so we talked, and she's 84 and a widow, and her kids are grown, and they live in Texas and New York, and we just kind of shared for a bit, and then she said, you know, do you want to do this? And I said, sure, I'll do it. And she was like, why? And I said, because you asked. So we started this, I think, like 6 or 8 months ago, and so I just show up, and sometimes she wants me to come in and have tea, and then sometimes she's like, fortune's on, I'll open up the garage, have a good day. And so...
Wheel of Fortune.
Wheel of Fortune. So I can't compete with whoever does that show. Thank you. And Vanna. And so that's just the relationship that we have. I show up every Tuesday. We chat or we don't chat. I take out our cans. And it's just something very, very easy. What was interesting was last Tuesday, her neighbor came out and said, so you show up every Tuesday and do this? I was like, yeah.
why aren't you?
Where have you been? So, no, I didn't go there. But anyway, but it's just our thing. I mean, if it grows into something, it does. If it doesn't, that's fine too. And that's it.
Thank you, Joe, for being available. You know, what this does is this raises questions in the people's lives. This makes us live questionable lives. You know what I thought when that guy bought my coffee the other day? I thought, do I know you? Do you go to church here? But I thought, I don't recognize him. I thought, why would you do this for me? It wasn't a big emotional moment, but it was just like, why? Why would someone, a stranger, just buy me coffee? And they didn't want anything else in return. Why would they do that? Well, maybe because I look like a pastor. But that's not it. I don't look like a pastor. I try not to. I'm trying to lose my pastor paunch right now. But it just raises questions. And it makes us live questionable lives. Makes us live questionable lives. But Martin, that's going to confront my prejudices, my busyness, the fact that I really do like the status quo. You know, some of the thoughts that people have shared is, Martin, I really like being selfish with my time. I really do like doing what I'm doing and not really going beyond that. And it will. But here's the motivation. And I love the story in Luke chapter 7, verse 47. There's a woman who is a prostitute who comes in. Jesus is having lunch with a Pharisee. And she comes in, she sneaks in. I don't know how she got in, but she snuck in. And she takes and she starts to pour oil over Jesus' feet and wipes it with her hair and her tears. And the Pharisee thought, if he only knew the character of this woman and what she had been doing, then he would not have anything to do with her. And I love it. Jesus knew exactly what he's thinking. And he looks at him and says, look, when I came in here, no one washed my feet. No one basically tried to bless him. But she is doing this. Why? Why? And he says this, I tell you, her sins, and they are many. I love how Jesus deals with truth and grace. I tell you that her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven, so therefore she has shown me much love. Now, Martin, you may think that this has to do with her and Jesus, but Jesus never, ever limited the expression of our love for him to just him. And you can bet this affected every other aspect of her life, every other relationship in her life. Jesus always ties those two together, right? So when we choose to embrace the status quo, embrace our fears, or to embrace our own personal prejudices or our busyness over being salt and light, that raises a question in our minds. At least it should, and that is, what's wrong here? Because if what's going on here is not motivating me to do it out there, there's a breakdown, there's a short circuit somewhere in there. Now, I want to encourage us that when we bless others, we bless to bless, not to convert. Okay? We bless because of who we are and whose we are, not to gain a certain outcome. In other words, we're just living out that which our Father has given to us with no strings attached. We bless to bless, not to convert. And if our Father wants to do a bigger work in the midst of that, then we're there to participate in whatever way He says. Now, I've got some homework for you all, because this is a practice that we're going to do our best. I'm going to encourage you, I'm going to exert you, I'm going to urge on you. Who can you bless this week? And I would encourage you to take and bless someone among us, because what we do here is what's lived out there. If it's not happening here, it's not going to be lived out there, right? So we are holistic people. We are integrated people. So who can you bless among us? And then who can you bless beyond us? And it could be that person that you've been praying for. Remember that homework? Because we're all supposed to be praying for 2 to 3 people who don't know Christ. Because we are about being disciples who make disciples among those who are what?
Not.
Okay, Don's got it. The rest of you? Not disciples. Okay? So you're praying for them already. I know that you are. But who can you bless? And what might it look like for you to bless that person? Okay? You all in?
Amen.
All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege of being children who have been richly blessed and enriched by you. So Father, would you take and would you take us that next step as we seek to build the habits. Build the habits that you use to transform this world. Lord, my goals are small compared to that. My hopes are small compared to that. I just want to see us transform this community. And Father, I know that you're into that, because you have said that. I know that you will participate with that because you've said that you would. So, Father, help us to do the little things, the small things that can make a big difference this coming week. And, Father, when we get discouraged, bring back to our mind and our heart just how you have richly blessed us so that we can bless others at every opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.